far as announcements go, Debbie Puddle, almost 60.
Don't announce.
Well, it's in black and white. if you guys are you're invited to her birthday party, not this Sunday, but you can note that in the bulletin in the last Sunday of the month. Our back room is out of power. The power's not working, so we're going to have our adult Bible class in the sanctuary, and they'll take over the fellowship hall for the festivities today. Other announcements, Open Hands and Luncheon will be this Thursday at noon. Trinity Youth Group is also going to go next Saturday to Silver Dollar City. If you haven't, if you're a young person, you're going, make sure to tell me or Candy or Nick. Also, our sister in Christ, Neva, passed away yesterday. And you know what? Just a lovely woman, right? And so we hate to see our members, we hate to say goodbye to them, certainly family members as well, but there's no doubt in Jesus, right? Right? And there is hope in Christ, and that hope also tempers the sorrow that we experience. So she is with her Lord, and there's no better place to be, frankly. Are there any other announcements that need to be made this morning? Now, in the future, I'll stop saying that. So if you do have an announcement that's not in the bulletin, then make sure you tell me before the service starts. Yes?
I just wanted to, share a praise report about my friend Justin Ratner. He's been... Yes.
So you were supposed to tell me this.
Oh. So my friend that I met at work, his name's Justin. We've been talking a lot about God, and I was just, they would bring up something, video games, and I would always find a way to segue that into Jesus. And they were annoyed by me for a long time, but he has basically just kind of fallen away and not been a real strong Christian, and now he wants to be baptized. So thank you, and I'm trying to get him into a Lutheran church in Springfield. So praise God for the work that he's done. Many people that have, fed and watered and planted that seed, and hopefully he is a strong Christian. So pray for Justin that he just grows in the Lord.
Okay, thanks a lot. Yeah, so it's nice to hear praise reports. And, we're going through the book of Acts. That emphasizes all the more our need to reach out to people with the love of Christ. And it's great that Jansen has been able to do that as well. And see fruit being born in the lives of other people. That's great. That's what we want to see. Paula, last one.
My mission, I won't be able to be there, so we need some more help on Thursday from 9:30 to about 2.
Okay, so we need more help for blind mission. We're not quite sure what day the funeral is this weekend. We will put that on Facebook. With that, then, I invite you to turn to our opening.
Thank you.
sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
When we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
We pray silently. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins, as called and ordained servant of Christ by his authority at his command. Therefore, forgive your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I call to God, and he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety.
Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you.
Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my plea for mercy.
My heart is anguish within me, the terrors of death have fallen upon me.
Fear and trembling come upon me, and heart overwhelms me.
But I call to God, and the Lord will save me.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
I call to God, and he hears my voice. He redeems my soul in safety.
Cast your burden on the Lord, and he will sustain you.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Thank you.
God, you declared your almighty power above all in showing mercy and pity. Mercifully grant us such a measure of your grace that we may obtain your gracious promises and be made partakers of your heavenly treasures. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Thank you.
chapter. When Jesus drew near and saw the city, he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace. But now they are hidden from your eyes. For the days will come upon you when your enemies will set up a barricade around you and surround you and hem you in on every side and tear you down to the ground, you and your children within you. And they will not leave one stone upon another in you, because you did not know the time of your visitation." And he entered the temple and began to drive out those who sold, saying to them, "It is written, 'My house shall be a house of prayer,' but you have made it a den of robbers." And he was teaching daily in the temple. Chief priests, scribes, and the principal men of the people were seeking to destroy him, but they did not find anything they could do, for all the people were hanging on his words. This is the gospel of the Lord. Right? I mean, they're awfully big animals. What do they think we are? We hikers are stupid because we can't see moose? And then on the other hand, there might be somebody who sees that sign and then just, you know, enjoying himself, but being a little more aware of the surroundings, looking for a tree here and there to hide behind or climb up in case there's a moose who gets aggressive. And then I think there's a third option, too, and that is one who was once observant and watchful, becoming complacent and totally ignoring what is around him. So I did number three. I'm walking, and what am I doing? Let me show everybody what wonderful pictures I've made here of the flowers and the fauna and the scenery. And then I'm walking, and then I hear something. And I'm about, you know, roundabout, because, you know, it was a little disturbing, where Bill is, in that second pew, three moose. Yeah, Mama Moose and two of her calves. And let me tell you, I backed away very quickly, without any delay, although as I was going, I did manage to get some video up, but I'll show you after the service. And then thankfully, Mama Moose and calves went that way. So that was a good day. But you know, what would have happened if I would have kept on going? Closer. It could have been a much different outcome. Not heeding the warnings. See, the warnings are there for our blessing, aren't they? And that's so much more true when it comes to the Word of God. When someone warns us of a real danger, it would be foolish for us to ignore it, or once heeding the warning, becoming complacent in the way that we lead our lives. So the question is, are you in that place? Are there warnings and scriptures that you've heard before and have impacted you before, but now that you're ignoring them? Have you grown complacent with your walk with God? When the Lord puts warnings in the scripture, it's there for human flourishing. It's there for our blessing. It's not there to kill our joy. So, the title of today's sermon is the Path to Blessing. We're gonna see that with Peter. Now, last time I preached on the book of Acts, Peter had just healed a man who had been lame from birth. He was well known because he was there in the temple at the beautiful gate begging all the time. So he's a known quantity. And so when he's healed, it makes an impact on people. And Peter uses that occasion to say, hey, look, I'm not great. Don't look at me as if I'm so wonderful that by my piety I healed this man, but it's in the name of Jesus Christ. So he shines a light on Jesus, and then he proclaims Christ. And he's very pointed with the people saying, because again, this isn't long after the crucifixion. He's very pointed with the people saying, look, you crucified the Lord. Today, as we continue and finish off Peter's sermon on that occasion, we're going to see that there really is a path to blessing in all that he's saying. So the way forward is I'm going to look at Peter's approach, then Peter's call, and then Peter's purpose. His approach, his call, his purpose. And all of that falls under the path to blessing. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we don't want to be just in the room this morning. We want to hear from you. Feed us. Quicken us. Enliven us. Convict us. Uphold us. Give us ears to hear, that we might be attentive to everything in your word, and that it might fortify our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so why don't you turn to your bulletin, the Acts reading. It's
And let's go ahead and read verse 17, Acts chapter 3, verse 17. So this is Peter's approach. And it says, "And now, brethren, I know that you acted in ignorance just as your rulers did also." Right? Because he had just told them that you disowned the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be released, right? With Barabbas and all that. So he's been very pointed with the law. And now he's saying this. His approach is to put the best construction, to see and declare that, look, I know you are ignorant in this matter. And this is, by the way, something that the Apostle Paul would say as well when he's writing to the Corinthians. And he says, we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. Okay, the wisdom is Christ, right? That's wisdom. Or he is wisdom. None of the rulers of our age understood, for if they had understood, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory. In other words, there's a level of ignorance here. And this kind of reminds me of what Luther would say later on in history when he describes the Eighth Commandment. He said we should not slander our neighbor but put the best construction on everything. And that is what Peter is doing. I mean, the very best construction that he can put on what they have done as a nation is to say you were ignorant. But that is not an act of hostility on the part of Peter. It's an open door. It's opening the lines of communication. It's turning the discussion towards reconciliation. It's turning it towards blessing and not curse. Look, you did this, but I know that you acted in ignorance. So Peter's approach, first of all, is to put the very best construction he can on their actions. But then, as we move into 18, we see something else he does. He doesn't keep them in their ignorance. So, let's read verse 18 together. Acts chapter 3, verse 18. But the things that God announced beforehand by the mouth of all the prophets, that his Christ would suffer, he has thus fulfilled. Now, Peter will get into some specific texts, but here he's making the general point. You know, we're not getting all this sermon, right? This is just Reader's Digest version. But his approach then is to dispel their ignorance. You may have been, and you were ignorant back then at the crucifixion, but you don't have to stay ignorant, right? You can come to a point of understanding and growth with God. And so he dispels their ignorance by opening up their eyes that the Old Testament really does proclaim that Jesus, that the Messiah would not only be a conquering Messiah, but also a suffering Messiah. And we can go through the Old Testament on that, right? Genesis 3:15. The seed of the woman will crush the head of the serpent, and the serpent is going to bruise the heel of that seed, right? There will be a wound. Psalm 22 that we went through during Lent. It's the Messiah's cry from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Right? All these verses, hundreds or more years before Jesus was born. These are all Old Testament passages. Or Isaiah 53, we looked at that a few years ago in detail. The suffering servant of God who has divine qualities, who will die for the sins of the people? Who could that be? Or Daniel chapter 9. Now Daniel, one day maybe we'll get into Daniel. It's pretty heavy. But Daniel chapter 9 talks about the Messiah. And he talks about these weeks of years. He says, then after 62 weeks of years, the Messiah will be cut off. I mean, right there, Daniel says the Messiah is going to die. The Messiah is going to be cut off. Or Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, is a description of the coming of Jesus and the response of many of the Jews at that time will be conversion, will be repentance, will be the Spirit poured out upon them and the weeping of repentance. And the text says of Jesus,
They will look on me whom they have pierced, and they will mourn for him. So over and over again in the Old Testament, we have this idea of a suffering Messiah, and we also have that idea of a conquering Messiah. But both are true, and they don't negate one another. So that's Peter's approach. He's putting a fig leaf out there. He's opening a door of communication. Look, I know you acted in ignorance. Let's dispel the ignorance. But now we have Peter's call. And if you would, please read with me verse 19. Therefore, repent and return, so that your sins may be wiped away, in order that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. So what is the call to Peter here? But the call is to repent and return. Repent and return. By the way, you know, when we get to the book of Ruth, we'll get into this, but just keep this in the back of your head. That verb return, often is a synonym for repentance, right? You just on your own, read the book of Ruth in that light, and how many times that pops up in that book, that wonderful little book we'll get into after Acts, I think. But there's an urgency of repentance. Because, as Peter says, when he's quoting from the Old Testament, it will be that every soul does not heed the prophet, this certain prophet like Moses, who is the Messiah, shall be utterly destroyed from among the people. There is a need to repent. There's an urgency to repentance. Don't put it off. Right? You know, folks, what happens when we put off repentance? We deepen habits of sinfulness that become heavy chains binding us instead of freeing us. That can happen. What happens when we ignore the urgency to repent? We deepen the darkness around us because we hear the gospel again and again and again and ignore that gospel. I mean, that's not good for the soul. That's not good for the soul to react to the mercy of God by indifference and the practice of darkness. It just deepens it all more. Okay, where was it? So, Peter's call, it's repent and turn. And the repentance he's calling for here, obviously, is initial repentance, that they would also come to faith to the Lord Jesus Christ. But this act of repentance, even though he's talking about something that initially leads to their salvation, is not something that stops at the point of salvation. Because repentance applies to the whole Christian life. The baptism itself gives us the pattern of our life, which is a pattern of dying to self in repentance and rising anew in new life in God's forgiveness. The Christian who has stopped repenting has either stopped being a Christian or has gone to heaven and has been perfected. There's the only two choices. If you stopped repenting, you've stopped being a Christian or you've been perfected. A young man was born again not too long ago. He's talking to a girl who pulls down 5 figures a month doing shameful acts on the internet. And the young man is warning this young woman about, hey, you know, one day when you have kids, they're not going to want to see this stuff on the internet and pictures of you and videos of you doing these things. And you know, he's a little more pointed than I am and rather rough. And the young woman responded, well, I still consider myself a Christian. I do. And that just means that I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sins, and I'm not a judgmental person like you. She was a little more pointed, too. You should know better than anyone else that we're sinners. What's the problem with that? It's using divine truth in service to the flesh, not a sincere response of faith. Repentance is a daily act that says, I agree about my sin with what God has said, and it's an actual turning away from sin, from wickedness. And it's something we never outgrow. You know, Lutherans of old, particularly C.F.W. Walther, the American Lutheran, he would talk about two kinds of sin, that there is ruled sin and there is ruling sin. Ruled sin is sin that is put under the feet of Jesus. It is sin in your life that is ruled by the forgiveness of Christ. It can no longer condemn you. It is forgiven. Jesus ruled it on the cross. And then there is ruling sin. It is sin that has us under its foot, where we are placed under the law again, under condemnation, because it is sin that we have chosen and desired. This young woman making those five figures a month, each month, wanted Jesus without repentance. Really, she wanted sin to rule her. All right, that's Peter's call, but let's go to Peter's purpose. Let's read Acts chapter 3, verse 26 together. For you, first, God raised up his servant and sent him to bless you by turning every one of you from your wicked ways. For you first, right? For you Jews first, right? Because these are the promised, the people of promise, the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so God comes to them first. They're the people of the covenant. Jesus comes and ministers first to the Jew, but it doesn't stop there. But here's the point. What does it say that the purpose of Jesus was? God raised up his servant set to bless you. How? How is Jesus sent to bless us? There's more than one answer to that. Anybody in the back know? What's the answer to why Jesus blesses us? Or how he does that? One way is, what does it say? Turning us from our wickedness. When God warns us, it's to bless us. And the blessing, by the way, talks about in verse 19 that times of refreshing may come. And that those times of refreshing are closely connected in the context with Jesus Christ coming. The times of refreshing may come that he may send Jesus to Christ appointed for you. So this refreshment is going to come regardless of whether they repent or not, regardless of whether they believe or not. But is it going to be for you when it comes? And there's refreshment not only at the advent of Jesus, at the restoration of all things, but there's refreshment even now in this life that absolutely can be wearying for any of us because of the troubles that we face in our life. But there is still refreshment even now that we can have joy in life that replaces guilt in life, that we can have hope that replaces darkness, that we can have a knowing, a personal knowing of God versus making ourselves into God, that we can have purpose in life instead of leading a meaningless life. You see, all these things are part of the refreshment that we can have and do have in Jesus Christ. Amen? Now, I'm not picking on young people. But I'm going to say something about young people. God has for us is easy to be missed. It's easy not to understand that God created the world in such a way that there would be blessing for us. And even with the fall into sin, it has not disappeared. I mean, you know, there's plenty of trouble, but there's plenty of blessing too. And people can easily lose sight of such a thing, whether you're young or old. I mean, think of the expansive nature of the refreshment of God. Unfortunately, in our society, many people have come to the point where they say, marriage doesn't matter, marriage is just a piece of paper. And I sense more and more that what young people, not everywhere around the country equally, but what young people more and more are facing, especially young men, is a sense of isolation and loneliness. They have been atomized by this world of personal electronics, isolated so that they don't have deep, lasting, holy relationships with members of the opposite sex. And if they have relationships, often it's a hookup and not a hitchup. I was talking to a person in their 20s about this. And he was saying of his generation, a wallowing in despair. Of course, it's not true of everybody, obviously. But I think that is, the more I listen, the more I hear, I think that's absolutely a reality and a problem in today's world. Atomized, isolated, alone. When all along, God has made holy marriage and sex to bring us together in that marriage to have companionship till death do us part. You see, we can ignore those things. So that's just outdated morality. You're just living in the past. You got to get with the times. Well, getting with the times, what has that meant for our culture? It has meant for many young people isolation. Whoa, that's a blessing, isn't it? When God warns us, it's to protect the gifts that He's given to us. When He warns us, it's to offer us more than what our sin can. So, in this text, we certainly have the path to blessing. The path to blessing. The path to blessing is even hearing those words of warning. To turn, to repent. But they're there not because God despises you, but because God loves you all the more. You know, just a few more steps, and my story might have ended very differently. Having not heeded, but for a time, the warnings that were on those bright yellow signs in the woods, I may not have been here today. Laughing is the wrong response. Good thing I don't have any self-esteem left. But folks, the reality of it is there are things worse than that. The things worse are not the things that ultimately will take our lives, but will take our souls. And before that, true joy and blessing and happiness. These are the things that God would sustain and build in us. Amen. I invite you to stand and we confess the prayer. I believe in God, the Father Almighty,
Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead.
oceans are deep and vast, but you hold them in the palm of your hand. The grain of sands on the seashore are innumerable, but you count them all. Great is your name, and worthy are you to be praised. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Dear God, so many young men and women live in lonely isolation. They hook up, but don't get hitched up. Move in our country that these young people will see the value in holy marriage and the mutual support that husband and wife are to be for one another. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless the Christian coaches in our community that they might have a positive influence upon our team. Bless especially the work of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes and Michael, their director. Open the hearts of the young people they minister to, that they might be encouraged by the good news of Jesus, the Savior. Lord, in our mercy,
hear our prayer.
Sustain, O Lord, our Christian teachers and principals, especially we think of Carla. Grant them wisdom, patience, endurance for the critical work they do in our community. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Deliver your servants from every evil of body and soul. Provide for those in need and grant endurance to the afflicted, especially we think of Cheryl, Joy, Jeff, Roy, Jean, Kathy, Vicki. We thank you, Lord, that you have delivered our sister Neva, and in holy baptism, you placed your grace on her. You fed her on your word and sacrament. You have brought her home. Comfort Neva's family with gospel hope. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Amen.
By the presentation of the offerings.
Oh,
bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
Saying, drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. Just do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
of the feast to come and the holy supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. Thank you.
Everyone is invited to have hot dogs and chips and cookies and play games with us if you like.
Okay.
We have cornhole, checkers, neck four, hula hoops. I know some of y'all can show us how to do that. sack races. So please join us.
Okay. Y'all have a wonderful day. Oh, Jeanette.
We are in dire need for another driver for the line mission. We have two cars that are full, and now we have a new lady, and she lives over on Polk by Gaspinade Park. You can drop her off and go to your errands and come back about 1:30, and take her back home, or you can stay and have lunch and listen to the entertainment and get any roads and say, okay, it's acceptable this time. So if someone could step up, hopefully on a monthly basis, once a month, third Thursday.
Okay. All right. Thank you. You're up. Another opportunity to show love to your neighbor. So if you can drive, please do so. You all have a wonderful day.